This is a Triple J podcast.
Every billionaire is a douchebag.
Parliament is a sick place.
I thought, oh my God, I might be an alcoholic. Obviously, I'm an inadequate guest.
If no, that's not what I'm saying.
Who's the Prime Minister?
A political earthquake is how it's being described. One Nation winning a by-election over the weekend and securing a seat in the House of Representatives. Is this just the start for Pauline Hanson's party? And what does it mean for the actual opposition? G'day, it's Dave Marchese with you for Hack. Later, we're talking One Nation's big win over the weekend, hearing from an expert.
This should be massive alarm bells for the major parties. It really should be the start of the major parties sitting up and taking notice.
Yeah, I also want to know what you think. Like, if you support One Nation, if you vote One Nation, or if you don't. Maybe you voted in this by-election in Farrah on Saturday. What do you make of it all? And what do you think it means for One Nation's future? Message in 0439 757 555. That is coming up later. First, though.
Hack.
Because there is a lot of people that do just give up straight away and waste 12 and a half grand.
On Triple J.
Oh, it sounds amazing. A person who looks like you, sounds like you, telling you that they can change your life. You can escape the 9-to-5 or the grueling hours of your apprenticeship, and you can make more money than you thought possible right there at home. All you need to do is sign up to a course. They promise a lot. Do they actually deliver? I'm really interested to hear if you have looked into one of these courses that claims to be able to break you out of the grind. What was it like? Message in 0439 757 555. Did you do an interview? Did you try to sign up? Maybe you did the course. You can call in too, 1300 055 36. Because Hack reporter Alice Sangeloni has been diving deep on one in particular that's targeting young tradies.
If you're stuck in some dead-end job right now, feeling like your life is slipping away, I can guarantee you that there is more out there for you simply because I have lived it.
Comment source and I'll flick you my free step-by-step guide.
As Instagram feeds do, they know what you're kind of going through, and it was obviously a time when it was raining heaps and I didn't have a lot of work.
Tom, not his real name, is a chippy in his 20s from Coffs Harbour in New South Wales.
I was like thinking about ways that I could have a side hustle of doing something online. All of a sudden I had influx of this thing coming in.
I'm 24 now and I'm making about 80k a month, but less than 2 years ago I was working in construction.
It sounded like something that anyone could do, and like they were targeting me personally.
So Tom hit up one of these guys, and next thing he knew, he was booked in for a call. But first they told him to watch a video.
Make $1,000 to $5,000 or more per day with just your phone and a Wi-Fi connection, working less than an hour per day.
Watching the video, Tom clocked the logo, a gold eagle on a red backdrop.
They have this really intense, like, frat boy signature stable.
And while he went ahead with the call, he says he was starting to get sus.
I could see that there's something else. There's another way that they will be, I don't know, making the money off people, like, just trying to get you into the system.
So what's behind these Escape the 9-to-5 content creators? Well, the one Tom got involved with is called ABC Sales Agency, or ABC Academy, and they say they teach sales and marketing, remote closing, appointment setting, and content creation. They also claim
you'll be getting certified by ABC.
But let's take a closer look.
Growing up, we didn't have a lot of money.
Billy, not his real name, is an apprentice chippy from Western Australia. He's 19 and was struggling financially.
Because as an apprentice, you don't really earn too much.
When he decided to dive into ABC.
As soon as I started looking at the very first modules, I realised everything I just talked about, they just did to me, and I was just kind of like a fish wandering into a shark's mouth.
Billy reckons he was paying nearly $1,000 a month to learn the sales techniques that were used on him.
You can't see it if you don't know it.
And he says it's an intense group to be in.
There are plenty of people in there who literally cut off every single piece of family to get this done.
Billy says that can also include friends and even your partner if they're not supporting you.
I do feel like there was a sense of brainwashing.
He ended up leaving ABC. He reckons it was giving pyramid scheme.
I don't think it's intentionally been set up to be a pyramid scheme, but it, I think, definitely can look like it. I feel like the large majority of people in there just resell the course.
I got a bit distant, even with my girlfriend who I live with. After a bit, said something about it, how I've got no time for her anymore.
Sam, not his real name, is a 19-year-old apprentice from Moreton Bay, Queensland. Sam has shown me a screenshot of a $12,500 loan that he says ABC set him up with to pay for the course. But it wasn't until later that Sam realised they'd falsified the purpose of the loan.
The reason for it, they put dental loan. I don't know. They're scary now looking at it, but...
For ages now, I've been trying to get any of the leaders of this group, ABC, to talk to me about what they're doing. I DM'd a bunch of the guys with the biggest followings, I sent texts, emailed, WhatsApped, and I tried to call one of the key affiliates, an Aussie guy called Marcel Stamm. This is a video he posted on YouTube in 2024.
You can then make a living off providing that information and that knowledge to other people, then they can go and provide that to other people. And this is why people sometimes think online education can look like a pyramid scheme or whatever the fuck it is. Because in reality, it is a pyramid because the market rewards people for expanding the market.
I reached out to a bunch of guys involved with ABC Academy. One who doesn't appear to be selling courses anymore said he wasn't the right person to ask because he wasn't involved with the group's operations. Another said, shut your bitch ass up.
Hack on Triple J. Alice Angeloni reporting there, and look, getting messages through. Someone on the text line now saying best way to get rich quick and quit the 9 to 5 is sell a course on how to get rich quick and quit the 9 to 5. All right, sensing some sarcasm there, but it is interesting, and I do want to hear from you if you have signed up to one of these courses, because Ali has been looking into this story for a little while now. She's actually still with us to tell us more about this investigation. Ali, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure, Dave.
You've been digging into this online world for a while now. It's been an adventure. I mean, what else have you been able to find?
Yeah, Dave, it has been a journey. And certainly what I've found is that ABC Academy aren't the only people offering these courses. Experts have certainly told me that there's a lot of people offering education courses online, selling everything, you know, from fitness and finance to parenting advice. And it all depends on your algorithm and where you're at in your life as to what kind of content you're going to get. But my research has shown that ABC Sales Agency isn't a registered business in Australia. It's also not registered to provide training here in Australia. And you know, I hit up one financial regulator, the Australian Financial Complaints Authority, and they said, you know, they can't regulate this business because they're not a member. So it certainly appears to be falling through the gaps in terms of regulation.
So do we know who is actually running ABC Academy?
Well, not really, because there's a lot of affiliates, and these are the faces that you're going to see when you're scrolling on your feed. They're the ones pushing this content. Well, we've been told that they're making a commission from all course sales generated through their accounts. It's been tricky to work out how this organisation is structured. That's actually in part because it appears to be running out of the United Arab Emirates. That's what I've been told, and I've actually seen some screenshots of payment for the course going to Abu Dhabi. But a guy called Tremaine Turner, who grew up in Sydney, he was previously in drop shipping. He appears to be the founder, and he was listed as such. He was on a podcast back in 2022 where he was listed as the founder and CEO of ABC Sales Agency.
Yeah, it does all seem to be pretty opaque, and it's hard to get answers on some of these questions, not for lack of trying, though, because you have been on this story for a while, Ali. I mean, have you been able to hear from Tremaine? Have you sent messages? Has he said anything to you?
Tremaine Turner's been quite difficult to get a hold of. He seems to have a very limited digital footprint, but I have been DMing the main affiliates over many months. I've been calling, emailing, WhatsApping with little success, but I really wanted to ask them some of the key questions that have come up over the course of their investigation, because I really wanted to hear their perspective on this story. I wanted to know things like, how common is it for people who sign up to resell the course, and how much money the average participant makes through this course, and whether they think it's a realistic way for young people to make money. I also really wanted their response to claims that it has parallels to MLM and pyramid schemes, because, you know, that seems like an important thing for them to comment on, but so far I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, they're all really reasonable questions, and the fact there are people out there saying this feels like a scam, it would be interesting to get their take on it as the people who are out there running this. I mean, what has the response been to this story?
We've been hearing from a lot of people reaching out with similar stories and experiences. A lot of people saying, hey, my nephew or my son has, you know, he's a teenager, he's a young man, he's been pulled into something that's either the same thing or sounds really similar. We've even heard from the government on this today too. Senator Murray Watt was asked about it on TV Breakfast this morning, and he said, you know, it's terrible to see young Australians being ripped off in this way. And the reality is that we're seeing a much wider range of scams in Australia today, and that people need to really, really be asking themselves the hard questions before entering things like this. I've spoken to family members, actually, of people involved in the scheme who are glad that this is being brought to light. You know, I think that's an important perspective too that we don't hear much of, is how families are impacted by this hustle culture. I've also heard back from some of the people who featured in this story, and what they had to say was, thank you for the opportunity to help others be wary.
Yeah, it does feel like there are a lot of people who have been raising concerns about this kind of stuff for a while. So appreciate your time, Hack reporter Alice Angeloni. I'm sure we'll be hearing more from you on this. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dave.
And we are hearing from you on the text line, someone saying, my little brother signed up to this ABC Academy. I think it's a scam. Now he has an $11,000 loan and he's super unwell mentally, that person saying. Another person saying, courses like this exist in the mental health space too. A lot of them targeted towards young men and in trades. They offer psychology, wellness coaching and stuff like that, but run by guys with no degrees, no accreditation. It's very manosphere coded, that person saying. If you have experience in this area, if you know someone who's signed up, if you've noticed some red flags, I'm keen to hear from you too. Message in 0439 757 555. You can call in as well, 1300 055 36. Well, someone who has experience looking at this stuff is Sunshine Coast University Professor of Management, Deanna Grant-Smith. She's researched multi-level marketing previously. Deanna, what do you think of these academies that are popping up that are claiming to be sales agencies?
Yeah, look, there's a few red flags for me. And I think that the flag that is almost the brightest for me is the one that says no skills, no experience, but then you have to come and do this training with us. They're really giving you a falsehood, aren't they? They're telling you that this is for people who don't know anything, because they're going to tell you everything you need for a price. And so when I see people touting these kinds of opportunities by saying that we can teach you everything you need to know, but you don't have to bring anything to the table and we'll help you make a lot of money, it's always too good to be true.
Yeah, well, one of the things about this particular academy is they don't have a public website, but they do use this really obscure social media marketing. Do you think that's deliberate?
I think it's absolutely deliberate. It's deliberate for two reasons. The first is that it helps to avoid scrutiny. So if you can't find things, you can't critique it. But I think even more than that, they're really selling this idea that it's for a certain kind of person. It's for someone who's an influencer. So they're really using those kinds of channels. They're using things like TikTok or YouTube, the kinds of things that people are accustomed to seeing other people use when they're doing this kind of work.
Those whole how I escaped the 9-to-5 stories that are used in the marketing, how effective are those strategies?
I think that they can be effective because they're targeting a certain kind of person. Most of the things that they do are promoting often lavish lifestyles or an escape from the grind of a job that you might not find satisfying or that you're having to attend 5 days a week. And they're really trying to present a certain lifestyle associated with this. So it's not just a job, it's a lifestyle, because they're very clear that this is about you creating content, and they're using words that make it sound like a really exciting, low effort opportunity.
I want to note that, you know, people that we've spoken to have found value in the course, that have said that the sales training they learned has helped them to secure high paying sales jobs. Could it be useful for some people and not useful for other people? Like, can both be true?
Absolutely. These two things can absolutely exist at the same time, because there are some people who are going to do exceedingly well. they're going to be very successful. But what we often don't hear are the other things that have helped them to become successful. It's unlikely that it's just this course alone. There's often other things that are creating opportunities for them as well that not everyone will have access to. The other thing that I would be concerned about is that often when someone is early entry into these kinds of schemes, they do quite well. But as they become more flooded, once more people are doing it, those really lucrative opportunities tend not to be as available because there's more people trying to do exactly the same thing.
It is very clear the target demographic for this kind of program, young men, in particular tradies, people who are working big, long days, may not be getting much money starting out their careers. Are there different programs and schemes that target young women? Is that also a thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So the kinds of things that tend to attract women more are what we call relational opportunities. So we'll often see women join multi-level marketing companies, for instance, where they might be selling a wellness product or beauty products. And it very much focuses on the idea that you'll be creating connections with other people who are also selling these products, that you'll be working for people, people will be working for you, and you're almost creating a family around it. So they're definitely focusing kind of alpha male in these. And for the women's organisations, they're focusing more on creating relationships and, I guess, a sense of satisfaction from working with other people as well.
What kind of regulation is there around all of this in Australia? Because, for example, we understand that this business that we've been focusing on now operates out of Dubai. I'm wondering if there's anything Australian regulators can do about this because of that.
Certainly when we're looking at the law around this, there has to be a product that's being sold. You can't have people pay for nothing. So it's not illegal in that sense. But what I would be telling people to do is to be very wary of some of the claims. So they talk in this company about you getting a credential at the end of it, that you'd be a certified something. But what is that certification actually worth? Does it have value? Does the money that you're paying for the course that you would do with them so that you can then sell their courses, is it of value to anyone else? So we know that if we do a degree at a university or a TAFE, for instance, we know who's given the degree. We know that there's a whole bunch of regulation around that to make sure that it meets a quality standard and people know what it means. Do people actually recognise this company and do they place any value on that credential? I'd suggest possibly not.
Yeah, we've got a lot of messages coming through on this. Someone's saying, I've totally had interviews with these people. Thank God I didn't join. When I asked questions, the guy couldn't give an answer and got a little aggressive. Someone else saying, lots of these kinds of courses within the property industry as well. Teachers saying they're seeing these courses pop up targeting teachers who are feeling disillusioned with their job. This person saying it's scary that teachers feel trapped in what else could I do whirlpool and feel like they might want to sign up to something like this. Well, we're hearing that, you know, there are courses that are targeting young men but also targeting women as well. And with us now, Jolie is on the line. Jolie, you were targeted with one of these courses. You saw something that was promising, something you thought was a little too good to be true. What was that?
Yeah, so for me, FIFO mining, it was marketed sort of like a earn hundreds a day, thousands a week, very similar to the like build your own business and live your own path, which is completely opposite to what FIFO mining really is. And as like as a healthcare student myself, I don't have any interest in joining a trade like what Hack's looking into or mining itself. So I don't know where it's come from.
Okay. So you started to see this stuff. Were you tempted at all to look into it, or did you think straight away, maybe it's not for me?
I was 100% tempted and I almost fell victim to it. Being like a low income healthcare student and living on a fortnightly paycheck from a hospital, but also being chronically ill, I'm a diabetic. So as soon as I get that paycheck, it's gone to medications, to appointments. So the idea of like this financial freedom, at first it might have, well, at second it seemed too good to be true. But firstly, I was like, this is great. This would be awesome, without thinking about the the downsides that we know and that we've seen from these inquiries. It's not looking at that side at all.
Yeah, it's what we're hearing from a lot of people, Jolie, and you can understand why people do want to believe a lot of this stuff and do sign up to these programs and maybe can't find a lot of information about who has done them, what they are actually offering. This is Hakam. Dave Marchese speaking with Professor of Management Deanna Grant-Smith about online courses that are claiming to break people out of the work grind and make them rich, get rich quick kind of schemes. I mean, Deanna, what do you do if it's someone you love who's signed up to something like this and you suspect it's not all it's cracked up to be? Because we're hearing from a lot of people now who are saying, I think this is my brother or my partner or someone that I know.
We need to be sensitive to them. So obviously we need to tell people if we think that they're involved in something that isn't good for them or that isn't going to give them the return on investment that they hope for. But going in too hard, too fast can actually make them very resistant. So we need to tread carefully and cautiously when we're talking to people and actually help them to get through the thinking themselves. We can't tell them what to do because there's a bunch of other people telling them something completely different.
Do you have any other tips of what people should be aware of when they're trying to sort out whether something is legitimate, whether it will provide them some value, or if it could be a scam?
What I suggest to people, don't just talk to people who are currently in the organisation. See if you can find people who have left as well, because they're probably going to give you a very honest appraisal of what their experience was. The other really good piece of advice I've got is actually financial advice. Really what they're encouraging you to do is invest your time in this instead of something else. So if that time you're investing is time you would have spent in paid employment, which is guaranteed money in your pocket, it's what we call an opportunity cost when you do this instead, because it means that you are losing the money that you would have earned. And here, if you're only working on commission, it's kind of a wish. You hope that some of these leads that you have will turn into closings so that you can get that commission, but it's not guaranteed. Don't just look at the big payday maybe once a month or once a fortnight. Look at what you're losing per week and per hour.
Professor Deanna Grant-Smith from the University of the Sunshine Coast. Appreciate you coming on Hack.
My pleasure.
And still a lot of messages coming through. Kia in Melbourne saying the common thread in all of these scams is the social media platforms they're posting on. At what point do we actually hold the platforms to account, that person saying? Another person saying it's good to be cautious, but similar to good to be true sounding companies actually helped me break into the property market. All right, so someone saying I had a positive experience there. And another person saying whatever happened to it sounds too good to be true. If it does, it probably is. I don't get how people fall for this stuff. All right, we're going to move on.
This is Hack.
An orange wave has surged over regional New South Wales, One Nation pulling off a historic upset.
On Triple J.
Yeah, we knew when Susan Lee resigned as Leader of the Opposition and quit Parliament earlier this year that it left an empty spot that they would have to fill in the House of Representatives. And over the weekend, they held a by-election for the seat of Farah. Been in Liberal or Nationals' hands since it was created, but over the weekend, something else happened. As many predicted, another party was successful, Pauline Hanson's One Nation. There's a lot of commentary about this and what it means going forward. We're going to get into some of those questions in a bit, but first, Shannon Schubert has this update.
On Saturday night, there was a clear message from regional New South Wales.
One Nation has reached the end of its beginning.
David Farley became the first One Nation candidate elected to the lower house of parliament after cruising to victory in Farah.
The message from Farah was quite clear and succinct. It's the cost of living. So what we're going to really do is start to focus on what are the policies, and they're pretty clear what they are. Energy is the main issue.
Residents who voted for One Nation say they like that the party was Australian.
Pauline Hanson's doing good things and I'm sure her whole team's doing good things. So, yeah, they got my vote.
I put Michelle first. It seems to be a pretty big, like, One Nation, like, Liberal sort of swing in the area.
Oh, I did One Nation. Oh, it's just helping out what I sort of want. I'm an apprentice, so they sort of help me.
I can only see good things coming out of One Nation. I don't see much coming out of any other party.
Nothing's going to change because I believe they're just another right-wing party.
This win is a big deal. Farah has been held by the Liberal Party for its entire 77-year history. The most recent MP was Susan Lee. She retired from politics after she was ousted as opposition leader earlier this year, sparking the by-election.
Immigration, we need the right skills. We don't need mass immigration like we've had. We just need the right skills.
One Nation leader Pauline Hanson says the electorate was looking for change.
Others have been forgotten.
for far too long, and they're struggling to actually survive.
Political analysts say the outcome of Saturday's by-election is catastrophic for the coalition. The Liberal Party primary vote collapsed, falling 30 points.
For too long we have been a party of convenience, not of conviction. And that must change.
Opposition leader Angus Taylor was defiant in defeat. So was Nationals leader Matt Canavan.
I'm not focused on polling booth results. Right? That's not going to be the way back for us. I'm focused on the economic results, the social cohesion results for the Australian people.
But former leader Susan Lee urged the party to learn from the result. In a statement, she said the party needed to change or die, something the new leader said after ousting her from the leadership in February. While Labor, who didn't field a candidate on Saturday, reckons the Liberal Party is to blame for its own demise. The Prime Minister reckons the coalition legitimised One Nation by doing preference deals with the party, and that voters were angry about the removal of Susan Lee.
Clearly people are frustrated. Issues like intergenerational equity. People are worried that younger Australians are never going to get a crack at home ownership.
This is Hack on Triple J.
Shannon Schubert reporting there. Look, messages coming through, people who voted in Farah. Someone on the text line now saying, I voted for the Independent, gutted at the outcome and even more disappointed by the social media racket about getting Australia back and returning to our values. They aren't my values, that person says. Well, look, let's dig a little deeper into what this by-election result actually means. Associate Professor Jill Shepherd is with us. She's a political expert from ANU. Hey, Jill, thanks for coming on Hack.
Hey, it's such a pleasure.
One Nation's got its first lower house seat. Do you think this could be the first of many?
Look, probably not. I'm probably swimming against the tide here, but by-elections are a bit weird. Strange things tend to happen at them. The Greens won a by-election in the 1990s, and we had these exact conversations about, is this the start of an onslaught of Greens lower house seats? And obviously it wasn't. There's a couple of different things in 2026, though, that are really important to take into account. The first is that the major parties are deeply unpopular, and this isn't a blip. You know, this has been happening over the last couple of decades. So what happened in Farah over the weekend was that enough voters said, actually, we really don't like you anymore. Now, this should be massive alarm bells for the major parties. Don't think this is going to see an onslaught of One Nation candidates winning in the lower house, but it really should be the start of the major parties sitting up and taking notice.
How big of a role did young people play in the Farah by-election result? Like, did Gen Z and millennials swing it for One Nation?
So it's hard to know yet just which generation swung in Farah, but what we do know is that it's 30 and 40-year-olds who are the most unhappy with the state of politics in the country right now. It's sort of elder millennials who don't have job security yet, thought they would have great incomes and wealth stability. They don't have housing security yet. People who thought things would be going better for them than they are by now. Younger voters tend to just be happy to be able to vote. We know that, you know, 18 and 19-year-olds are kind of the happiest, most pro-democracy people in the electorate. But I think what is happening is even somewhere like Farah, you do see young people voting for Teal-type candidates or voting for Greens. They're not voting for the major parties.
The Liberals preferenced One Nation above the Independent in Farah. Do you think that was a big mistake or one that the Liberal Party is going to be really, really stewing over?
I think the Liberal Party has found peace with its decision to help normalise One Nation. Now, in 2025, they did a preference deal with the party across the country for the first time ever. That was a really big deal. And I think what it did for a lot of voters was give them a signal that this isn't a scary party. You know, this is a party that the Liberals and Nationals would be happy to deal with, potentially. Now, I'm not sure that One Nation candidates necessarily feel the same. But for voters who may be on the fence between the coalition and One Nation, these sorts of deals can be the thing that push them over.
And just finally, is it the party or is it Pauline herself that has the most cut through with voters?
So it's really hard for people like Pauline Hanson to transition from being a party that's just about themselves and around one popular politician to one where you have to share the limelight. And at the moment, Pauline Hanson is much more popular than anyone else in her team, including Barnaby Joyce, which probably upsets Barnaby no end. How you transfer her personal power into enough energy to propel a whole political party, that's a lot trickier. She can probably do it. She's been around so long. She knows all the tricks of the political trade. But it will require people like Barnaby Joyce, people like David Farley now, to play nicely with her vision and to, you know, be able to work out just how to get along like a normal political party. And that's not so easy. So we'll have to wait and see how that goes.
Associate Professor Jill Shepherd from ANU, really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Dave.
And some different messages coming through. Indy saying, I'm disappointed and ashamed to live in a One Nation electorate now. We had a fantastic independent running, but now it feels like we're aligned with Trump politics. Another person, though, saying major parties don't stand for anything anymore. One Nation has a clear message. And someone else saying this is even more damaging for Labor. They didn't even put up a candidate, knowing it would prove just how sick of this government we are. Also messages coming through on the online courses story Alice Angeloni had earlier. If you want to read more on that, go check out ABC News Online because there's a big article that Ali's done and it's a fascinating, fascinating read. That is all we've got time for on Hack for now.